So, Lufer, Daphne, we're here today to talk about one of my favorite topics. When we talk about artificial intelligence, you know, some people say artificial intelligence can never beat real stupidity. And that's true in general for the human race. But I've come to like it, right? It's done, in fact, I use it on a daily basis. I use it to write code. I use it to write, to run formulas. I use it to even find the best combination of airline tickets and hotels. Right. In fact, if you go into Google these days, usually if you remember, the top search results are always your sponsored posts.
Mm. Yes.
And then it goes to your organic posts, right? Mm. Now at the very top is your AI-related answers.
I'm curious, how much time has it saved you from the last time you were not using AI till now?
A significant amount.
Okay.
So I am not a natural coder.
Yep.
Right? So you all see me write things behind, you think that I've done this all my life. I've learned my first line of code literally 3 years ago, from scratch.
Watching
YouTube.
Watching YouTube.
Watching YouTube videos, understanding syntax, and writing line after line after line. I could initially only manage like 10, 20 lines of code. Yesterday, what a consultant would normally take a day to do for me, I ran a code that was 95% accurate within an hour.
Okay, 95% accurate.
And I guess that's the issue with AI today. Okay, AI today is still evolving, right? So it's never 100% accurate. So you need that human intervention to bring it across the line. Okay, so oftentimes we say being 99% right, you might as well be 100% wrong. And that's the issue with code. Code cannot run when it's 99.99% right.
Yeah.
True.
Every line has to be correct, right? Okay. So that's where the human intervention comes in, to ascertain where the AI got it wrong. Right? But over time, it learns. And as it learns, it corrects.
Interesting. Yeah. So in your case, because we're on the topic of AI harm or help, in your case, is that it has helped.
It has definitely helped.
Okay. Yeah. I'm very curious to find out. Lufa, what about you?
It definitely, I have not thought about the harm bit because I've been, obviously when AI was introduced or when I first learned about AI, it definitely saved a lot of time for my day-to-day task in the line of work that I do. Writing captions rather than thinking of copy from scratch, you could get it from ChatGPT.
Yes.
And that would save you almost 2 hours of your time.
To
just bring you, you know, give you that structure, that framework of how things should work, right? And then from there, you humanize it to the brand that you're working for. So I think that really, really was what amazed me with ChatGPT. And then, of course, from there, you would read and learn more about other AI tools out there. And it's amazing how it can save a lot of time.
I think you hit the nail on the head. You know? Because if you think in terms of your usual process, what takes the most time is for you to think how to start.
Yeah.
Right? The time you spend actually doing it is less than the time you take to plan. So by shortening that planning period, giving you something to start with, it actually accelerates the development of the whole process, right? It helps you save that saving time, that planning time.
So I come from a point of view where I have a love-hate relationship with AI, primarily because I'm a content writer. And so the worry on my mind is, what is AI doing that will take away the job that I'm doing? Half the time, yes, I agree, it saves time. Yes, I agree, productivity is up. But the biggest thing on my mind is what we used to be doing, talking to people, has now been replaced by an algorithm based on what I type in as prompts. Now, we've never been educated on AI in school. No one went through with us a certain tutorial. We've kind of learned while we were kind of going through it. My biggest worry is there are no guardrails. There are no ethical guidelines. There is no set of procedures to tell you basically what you've done is a little bit dangerous when it comes to the credibility of the information or the authenticity. So from a content point of view, I worry about that. But has it helped me? It has. So I can't tell. I don't know. I'm It's harmful, but it's helpful. I'm in between in the moment.
I think, Dev, you summarize what most people are thinking when you think in terms of help or harm, yeah. right? I think most people appreciate where the help comes from. And when you think of the word harm, the usual association is with, what's the danger to my job? Yes. Am I relevant? I think that's where most people are thinking, right? And that's where the idea of harm comes in. Most people don't think that robots are going to take over the world, that we're going to build the Terminator, or we're going to build Skynet, you know? I've read some research that said eventually we will, but most people don't go there, right? You don't get to that point.
Yeah.
You get to the point where, does it replace me? Right? And yes. I think the question there when you think in terms of harm is we need to think in terms of our relevance to our world. What value do we actually bring? At the end of the day, it's about delivering on what you're meant to deliver. So if you do deliver it with a better set of tools, you deliver the output, then that's good. Now, you're worried about that quality of that output. I would say leave it to the end users to
decide.
Okay. Let me go mull and decide about that.
So what about you, Lufa? What do you think? I mean, is there any concept of harm that is not, what does it do to my job? What do you worry about with it?
I always think that as us human beings are the one behind all of this, right?
Yes.
So we are the ones that's able to control and adapt to it. So I don't really see a harm rather than, you know, it's like when I first learned about ChatGPT, for example, it's about learning the prompts correctly and getting the most accurate information out of it. But when you first do it, it's like it's giving you this generic answer that is like, oh, okay, it works.
Yes.
And then as time goes by, you're like, oh, this is very AI. There's no human touch to it, right? So those are things that I realized. And I'm like, okay. So, and everyone is jumping on this bandwagon using ChatGPT.
Yep.
And everything sounds so AI and it's so diluted, especially on social media. So I think the way to stand out is putting your input in and humanizing it. That will sort of set it apart. Although AI has helped you, it's still your language in there and what you're thinking behind all of it that the end user can see at the end of it.
It's a final question, maybe it is to ask, will workplaces ever make the use of AI mandatory?
I think in this day and age, if you're not on AI, then I think you're lagging behind. I think everyone should at least try or be on AI.
Now,
I don't know whether it should be mandatory, but I think people should start trying at least to be on
AI. The way I will put it is this, right? So imagine you were sailing one of those ships when a steamship was invented.
Yes.
You could well say, I don't know if it's going to blow up. So even though it goes at 10, 20 times the speed, the wind can take me and it can steer, I'm not going to use it. You can be one of those people who want to row a sampan in the age of a steamship.
Yes, me! That's
and
me!
You know what? I think there's always room for that. The world is large enough to accommodate a spectrum of technology available. But will you, rowing a sampan, be at the forefront when the steamship is leading? No way. Right?
Okay.
So as long as you are comfortable with your value to those around you and you know, doing what you're comfortable with, I don't think everybody should be pushed to use one tool, to be honest. There are civilizations today that exist very well without the internet. Maybe even higher happiness index than any of us will ever achieve.
Before we continue, let's take a moment to hear from our sponsor, DHL Express Singapore. DHL, the world's leading logistics company, is leading the charge towards a more sustainable future. With a goal of achieving net zero emissions by 2050. In Singapore, DHL's Go Green Plus solutions helps businesses to reduce their carbon emissions through the use of sustainable aviation fuel. Derived from renewable sources such as used cooking oil, DHL is also expanding their electric vehicle fleet rapidly to ensure greener last mile deliveries. Join DHL on their sustainability journey. Learn more at dhl.com/discover/en-sg. Welcome to the podcast series by Great Place to Work, ASEAN and ANZ. Join us as we explore current workplace trends and issues through conversations with industry leaders. Listen to their views and experiences that are shaping our workplaces today.
Welcome to the Great Place to Work podcast. Today, we are going to dive into the world of AI and its impact on our workplaces. We are going to explore a critical question. AI, is it a help or harm when it comes to creating great work environments? Today, these days, we can't scroll through our social media feeds or have conversations without the topic of AI coming into play. The reality is AI has rapidly evolved, offering unprecedented opportunities to enhance productivity, streamline operations, and to drive innovation. From automating mundane tasks to providing data-driven insights, the fact is AI is revolutionizing how we work. But with this advancement come concerns around data privacy, job displacement, and ethical considerations. This afternoon, I'm really happy, and in my mind, I have the most appropriate and the most qualified person to help us explore into this topic around AI and great workplaces. And I have with me, you know, who I call the man of the hour, Prasad, to come and discuss this topic with us. Thank you, Prasad, for joining us this afternoon in this episode. And could you just introduce yourself to the audience?
Evelyn, thank you for having me. It is always a pleasure to see you. And it's an honor to be on the podcast representing GovTech. As for the introduction, I often introduce myself as an engineer by my basic educational qualification, mm-hmm. an HR and an OD professional by choice, and a coach by my calling.
Wow, that's really good.
Summing it up, I'm just a very grateful soul, seeking interesting experiences, striving to make a difference and touching lives.
That's amazing.
Having said, the identity that I relate myself with the most are that of a father, coach, and a friend. And I have my wife's permission to say this.
Just, you know, as a wife too, I would be very happy if I hear my husband introducing himself as a husband, a father, before his professional identity.
Yeah, and thanks for reminding me. I do need to remind myself to also introduce myself professionally. You know it, but for the audience, I'm with a government technology agency, also called GovTech, in Singapore. We are the Singapore government's leading technology agency, responsible for all things digital transformation and smart nation. And we have a leading role to play in that. I am responsible for all things people, org, and culture, so CHRO equivalent. I'm also the board secretary at GovTech. I have an additional role that I play, which is I'm the president of the Singapore Human Resources Institute, and that's a platform that I use to contribute to building the community, the fraternity in human resources. And as I said, coaching is my calling, so I do continue to coach. I'm also on the executive coaching panel for Civil Service College, coaching leaders across the government.
Well, Prasad, you know, with your string of accreditations and your roles, that's why it makes you really the most appropriate person to speak about this topic around AI, given your role in GovTech. And not just that, but your connections and your contributions and what you see and hear in the whole ecosystem in Singapore. And Singapore, I think we are in the forefront in terms of thinking about building a smart nation. We are very intentional around that. And we know that AI will change the future of work, both white-collar work as well as blue-collar work. And we know the beneficial impact of AI and how it's going to help create as well as automate many new products, automate processes, and generate new jobs. At the same time, we also understand the fears. They are well-documented and well-spoke about, right?
Absolutely.
The fear that humans will get displaced as AI comes in to replace them, that the whole fear around deepfake, those are all real fears that we have. Could you share with us, how does GovTech foresee the Singapore workforce in adapting to the advent of AI. Could you share the importance of how are we thinking of how we should be upskilling, reskilling, or you know, just our mid-career people, the workforce?
Absolutely. You know, earlier in your introduction, you did make a point about the social media feeds these days, yes, buzzing with everything AI. I'm just coming off of a three-day high of hosting the World HR Congress in Singapore for the first time.
Which is a wonderful Thank event you. That you guys have put together.
For the first time in Singapore since 2006. Mm. And I'm not kidding you, 3 days of the conference, every single keynote, every single panel had a mention or two about AI, whether or not the topic was about AI. And that is the relevance of AI. I want to address this question in a couple of ways. First, a little bit about AI itself, and then a little bit about reskilling. There, it's nuanced because both these come together, as far as I'm concerned. Now, the elephant in the room. Will AI take jobs away? And that's also the fear, and rightfully so. And that's probably where the awareness and education of what AI really is isn't necessarily at a place where it should be, and we have a role to play. And let me go out and actually share, and this is also something that a leader that I respect a lot shared in a chat that I was having with him about this topic recently. To kind of sum up, I don't believe AI will replace jobs or take jobs away. It's humans who are trained about how to use AI and how they can effectively integrate tech and AI in their work who will replace humans who are not upskilling faster and enough. So technically speaking, humans will replace humans. And that's happening even in today's time.
That's right. Automation, digitalization, correct, these are all happening already.
Correct, absolutely. So that's something that we need to be aware of. Now, in the conference, there was a speaker who gave us a bit of a context of how AI has evolved over time. AI is not a new concept. The first mention of artificial intelligence and the first example was seen in 1957. Now, AI to machine learning, the progress, it took 40 years. Machine learning came to fore in about mid-1990s, 1907 or so. 97 to 2011, so 15 years, from 40 to 15, we went to deep learning. Mm. And we went to generative AI in 5 years after that. So 40, 15, and 5. So that's a classic example of how we are seeing half-life of skills actually shrinking big time, and closer home in tech, it's less than 2 years these days. So that's one angle that we're looking at. And there's enough study to say that 55% of the professionals today are using AI in some form at least once a week as part of their work. There was a research from EY recently which talks about 500 million investment that's going to happen only in 2024 to build infrastructure and research on how Gen AI can be more effective. And there's about a 20 million training funds expected to be pumped in just in this year. So it's all around us. Right? So that's one angle to it. The second angle, let's look at a talent landscape a little bit. I might sound very cliche, but the war for talent is very real. And especially in our context in Singapore. The demand for good talent will any day far outstrip the supply that we have. And organizations are not in a space anymore where we can continue to throw bodies at the problem. We are in a stage of what I call scaling and not growing, which means that we need to do more with the same and more with less. And which is where integration of tech and AI will be extremely effective because it's going to help productivity. It's going to help augmenting human capability. So enabling us to look at an AI-human collaboration and where we have the bandwidth to upskill and evolve the work that we do as humans. And that's really what we should all be looking at. So therefore, upskilling and reskilling becomes very, very critical. If you look at this year's budget in Singapore and the investment of funds specifically to upskill mid-careerists. He's a classic example of the acute awareness and a very decisive action that we've taken as a country to work towards that.
I was so heartened when we hear budget and the amount of money that you put in.
Absolutely.
It reflects that we are not just speaking about that, but there's real action put behind that.
Absolutely.
But if I would take a few steps back, and you have cited those statistics, data that help us understand how huge the impact of AI is going to come to flood the work environment. We understand the business case. We know how much importance it has. You talk about we're not in the phase of growing, we're not in the phase of scaling. I can't agree more with you. And we come from this from a very logical, rational perspective around what AI is, why is it important, and how it impacts the business. I think about the man in the street. I think about the worker, those who are not, who may not fully grasp the size and the scale, who will not fully grasp the importance. And the message they're hearing is just AI will take over the job, right? Because whatever you just cited, all those data is facts.
Yes.
But people are ruled by emotions.
Absolutely.
By fears.
Absolutely.
By what they hear around that. And which is why, before we go into that bit, the scaling bit, this is where I want to connect the idea of AI with great workplaces, right? Many times in a bid to scale technology, to scale operations, we rush to do this. And we forget it's so easy for the human centricity to be placed aside, right?
Absolutely.
And which is why I love that you are from GovTech, but you are, for who you are, the coach, you know, the man who is so passionate about OD and culture. How should companies be thinking about supporting the average worker in the organization who will not be moved by your logical reasons, by the wider technological advancements of the
Absolutely.
Need for AI?
Absolutely.
They are just concerned about, where's the place for me? What is my place in the world in 5 years' time?
Absolutely, Evelyn. So I was looking at a research recently. Let me start with something that really appealed to me there. I have 3 points. I'm just referring to some notes that I had made. So the research that I'm talking about talks about 3 phases in terms of being able to appeal to the emotional side of the workforce that you're talking about. First one is, how do we plan and prepare? So it's important for us to communicate about AI to reduce fear and uncertainty. The second one is about, how do we execute? So the importance of deconstructing job roles impacted by Gen AI, how can AI and how can tech enable these roles, and then therefore making it real for the individuals to know that their jobs aren't being taken away, but they're being supported. The third one is, you know, how do we scale, which is developing workforce to effectively deploy AI. So we're talking about education and awareness at that point in time. So, and then these 3 points were very appealing to me, primarily because it breaks down logical steps of what organizations can do. Mm. And if I were to come back to your question and then look at it wearing a coach's hat, if you will, or an HR leader's hat, the most important thing, and I might sound like a broken record at the cost of being repetitive, and in some ways, repetition doesn't spoil a prayer, so I'm going to say that again. The most important element is to establish the why. The purpose of why we are doing this, and what does it mean to everybody on the ground. The why should also cover the what's in it for me question, which makes it real for individuals. The second one is, like any transformation, and today we're talking about AI, we were talking about digital transformation, which is still very real. We've spoken about agile transformations, which again is fairly prevalent across the industry. As with every transformation, the tone from the top becomes very critical. So the leadership to sponsor and role model is very critical. And for me, the role of the middle managers to be able to cascade that message down and be the megaphones of the transformation agenda in the organization becomes very critical. So that's one aspect of it. So establishing the purpose, communicate extensively, and how do we use the middle managers and the leaders establishing the tone and role modeling, and the middle managers cascading that. So that's one part. The second one, I'm also of the view that while tech is absolutely critical and AI is not an artificial reality anymore in the workplace, it is important that we assess the change readiness of the organization and not push tech or AI for the sake of it. So that's very critical for us. So we might want to pilot it. We might want to start small. In fact, in GovTech, we actually say, think big, act fast, start small.
I love it.
And it's typically that iterative cycle where you're going to launch, it's okay to fail, and go with that iteration. Google had the same practice pretty much.
That's where you
absolutely
come. Yeah.
So that's another angle that becomes very important. Yeah. And the third one, and it also goes back to your earlier question about reskilling and upskilling. There is, I can't stress enough on the fact that we all need to invest in developing our people. In GovTech, we follow something called a 4E development model: education, experience, exposure, and engagement. And then we have actually gone and told the GovTechies that we are responsible for their lifetime employability and not lifetime employment. So we committed to their learning and growth. And it's not all about AI. It's the domain that they're working with. It's mastering craft, which is one of the key components of our employee value proposition. So, and the realization that any transformation, including leveraging AI, is going to be a longitudinal journey. And we need to be at it in a consistent manner over a longer period of time.
So I'm hearing that you, GovTech, put as much thought in communication, in engagement, in co-creation throughout the organization as you zoom into thinking what kind of technology to put in place. And it's not just hammered through the entire organization.
Absolutely. And I'll give you two other pointers. Yeah. It's just not about communication as a structured process. It's also about the leadership accountability that we build. So for example, we have what we call the GovTech Way, which is the leadership principles, which sets expectations of our leaders for the way we want them to show up for the organization, for their teams, and for themselves. One of the first leadership principles that we talk about is act with purpose. So there are three broad leadership principles: act with purpose, model empathy, develop people.
All right.
So you,
purpose, empathy, and
develop
people.
So I can see you smile because all three are very, very closely connected to the principles of Great Place to Work.
That's right.
So under Act with Purpose, the first key point that we make is that we expect all the leaders to think for the organization and not think for their respective functions.
And that's why you have enterprise level leaders.
We want them to be thinking about GovTech first and just not people and organization in my case. So it's a leadership expectation that we have of all our leaders. And therefore, it's just not about the mechanics of communication and cascading down. It's ownership that we integrate at every level.
And I think that is so important because it's almost like many times organizations want to copy best practices. What are your best practices out there? But it's beyond copying the programs and the structure, but it is having those guiding principles guide the behaviors so that it is not just going through the letter of the law, but the spirit of what you're doing that permeates through the organization.
I can't agree more with you, Evelyn. Since my days at Google, so 12 years in Google and 5 years now in GovTech, there's one principle that I have often shared, is that best practices cannot just be lifted and shifted.
I love that. Lifted and shifted. So right.
It won't work. Yes. The best practices always works in the context of the culture of the organization.
I need to have this statement, you know, I need to do a cut, a reel and share that with so many of our clients who ask us, can you please tell us what are the best practices we can do? And we tell them it is not about copying and pasting because you don't need us. You could Google it very easily.
And that doesn't mean I'm not happy to share.
No, That's right.
That doesn't mean I'm not willing to listen.
Exactly.
But we take that for inspiration. And we look at what can work in the context of our organization.
That's right.
And that's exactly how it should be.
So it's almost like you need a garden, that culture for you to allow those practices to flourish and to thrive. Otherwise, you just fall flat.
We talk about user-centricity, right? Mm-hmm. If I start to bring in a best practice from company X into our organization without listening to GovTechies and asking them what they need, it's the plot is already lost.
That's right. I love it. And if I could just connect, this is a great segue to my next question. How should great workplaces be thinking about AI? Is there even a connection? Because one feels to be about people and culture. AI is technology, is technical skills, right? In your view, is there a connection? And if there is, why do we need great workplaces in this age of AI?
Let me try and see if I can draw parallels to another aspect that's very close to my heart, which is coaching. I remember we were discussing this a little while ago in one of our chats about the importance of manager as a coach or leader as a coach.
Yes.
What do we say there? It's not about converting all the managers and leaders to be full-time professional coaches overnight. It's about giving them the tools and the repertoire to understand a bit of what coaching is and use it at the right time in a conversation with their team, with their employees, in the conversations, during career conversations, during performance conversations and what have you. But we're not expecting everybody to be a full-time coach or a professional certified coach. Mm. Similarly, when we're talking about integrating AI or tech, there has to be enough tools with everybody to understand how we can use it. And that doesn't mean everybody needs to be a programmer. We're not converting everybody to be a tech expert at the usage of tools and technology, including AI, in our day-to-day. How do we integrate it? Therefore, how are we able to like use that as an enabler, help in our productivity, and that time that we save can be invested into holistic well-being? Or if you're interested in more work, you can invest it into more work. You can scale the work that you do and the strategic direction that you take in being a more effective partner to your stakeholders. So there is so much that we can do with the benefits that AI can give us.
Right. So we are leveraging off the benefits for us to be even better in giving that space, because the repetitive work, the mundane work,
correct,
has been replaced by AI.
Correct.
And that requires that.
Correct.
I want to get your opinion on this statement, right? That amidst the rise of AI and a very challenging macro environment that we are all in, the workplace is changing very rapidly, right? And this pace of change presents an opportunity, but it also requires companies to have trust to ride the wave of change. What are your thoughts on this statement?
Can't agree more with you. And that's also, I was reminded of one of our keynote speakers yesterday in the conference, who was sharing several examples of what AI can do. The one that he said the AI can't do is about building trust and empathy, compassion and curiosity, humility. So it connects very strongly. So, which is the reason why we go back to what we were talking about earlier, that AI cannot replace humans in everything that we need to do.
Yeah.
It can't replace all of the leadership.
That's good to know.
Right? And then trust, trust is a two-way street, if you ask me. And then that's a very significant component of what the leaders need to invest time in.
Which is why I would think that even as we in this race to adopt AI technology and in this race look at how we could harness the benefits of that, that there is a place for human centricity.
Absolutely.
There is a place that for us to still be very mindful of the human spirit, the human creativity that no machine can replace.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Prasad, for sharing
that. Not at all.
Yes.
This podcast is brought to you by Great Place to Work, ASEAN and ANZ. At Great Place to Work, we transform workplaces through our unique culture and certification program. we promote a future of work that is inclusive and fulfilling, inspiring organizations to build cultures of trust, collaboration, and engagement. Tune in to our next episode and stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Let's shape truly great workplaces together.